WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. Police in Dallas are investigating after a Southwest Airlines plane was hit by a bullet. CBS's Dana Jacobson with details.
It happened at Dallas Love Field Airport just before 10 local time last night. The airline said the plane was preparing for takeoff when a bullet hit the right side of the aircraft just below the flight deck. No one was hurt. The runway was briefly closed and passengers on the Indianapolis-bound plane were safely deplaned. Police arrived on the scene. So far, the source of the gunfire is unclear.
A different problem for a Southwest flight out of Denver. KCNC-TV's Alan Genet.
Cross your arms, jump.
The plane under evacuation in frightening moments at DIA.
Cross your arms, jump.
Passengers headed down the slide to the safety of the tarmac. Jennifer Rogers recorded the video as people scrambled to get out.
The smell was really bad from the lithium battery.
We heard somebody from the back say, evacuate. And then everybody just started screaming. People wanted off the plane.
Now to President-elect Donald Trump's picks for his cabinet, some of which are raising questions among lawmakers. CBS's Bradley Blackburn explains.
Trump's choice for Attorney General, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, is facing scrutiny from senators who want to see findings from a House investigation into whether he was involved in sexual misconduct with a minor and illicit drug use. Gaetz has denied wrongdoing, and on Friday, Speaker Mike Johnson threw cold water on the idea of releasing the report now that Gaetz has resigned the House.
President Biden has a packed schedule at the Asian Pacific Summit in Peru, including a meeting with his Chinese counterpart. CBS's Natalie Brandt is there.
Taiwan, artificial intelligence, fentanyl, and cyber all expected to be on the agenda today. This meeting comes on the heels of a major hacking operation targeting telecom companies, which the U.S. government has attributed to Chinese-linked hackers.
A search is on in Gaza after an Israeli airstrike kills at least 10 people where displaced families were staying. CBS's Linda Gradstein.
It was in one of the UN schools that has been designated as a safe zone and where tens of thousands of people have, or hundreds of thousands have been sheltering in the last few months, since especially people both from northern Gaza.
African children are asking world leaders to act to protect their future at the United Nations COP29 climate summit. In East Africa, schools have been closed over flooding and scorching heat waves in recent months. McDonald's is spending $100 million to get its customers back.
Get it while you can. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
An outbreak of E. coli was tied to slivered onions on its quarter pounders. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The recent wave of racist texts targeting Black Wisconsinites has sparked concerns about data privacy. Judith Rees Branch reports.
The personal information that people voluntarily disclose on various online platforms is often used for marketing purposes and can be sold to data brokers who then sell it to others. Cybersecurity professor Chad Johnson at the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point says industry estimates are that most data brokers have no less than 15 data points on every American, including age and ethnicity, detailed contact information, and even social security numbers.
And since there's no regulation over who can buy those, of course, it could be other advertising agencies, it could be other platforms. But there's also nothing stopping, for example, a white supremacist movement from buying that information for purposes exactly like this.
Personal data can also be stolen or leaked. Johnson adds there is currently no comprehensive federal law that protects data and privacy in the U.S. However, Wisconsin's new data privacy law goes into effect next year. The Wisconsin Data Privacy Act includes requiring businesses to inform people if their data is being collected and the purpose, as well as the right to access that personal data and request that it be corrected or deleted. Johnson says the fact that anyone can have such detailed information about their targets is where the intimidation factor comes in.
It kind of sends the message also implicitly, well, what else could they possibly know? if they have my ethnicity, do they have my address? Do they have my children's names? Do they have my school or my children's school? It's impossible to know.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs near 52. Chance of rain tonight, lows around 46. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high around 60. Rain is likely on Monday with a high of 56. For Tuesday, more rain, breezy, highs near 60 degrees.
It's 48 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday's show, Pat Kreitlow makes his triumphant return back to Up North News Radio. We talk about his vacation and what happened in the news this weekend. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's educated educators talking education. Man, we've got some serious education we're going to be talking about today. Lots to get to, but first, just checking in with the team. Johnny Lupinacci, producer Jess. How are the two of you doing? Sorry about that, man. It's been a busy week, you know?
Hey, man, it's Saturday, so, you know, I'm living large. Saturday is my day to kind of catch up on things. I wish I was caught up on my grading. I do, for my own health, stop grading around noon on Saturdays. I like my Saturday morning workout and then a little bit of grading. It's never enough because the grading takes time. Teachers out there know, you know what I'm talking about. But it's Saturday afternoon, so glad to be here with you both. Love this weekend drop that we're on now. It's really wonderful to be reaching out to my teacher peeps and all the folks on the weekend. Because, yes, you know, I don't want to say that the work never stops, but there's a flow to things and it does spill into the weekend. So it's nice to check in and just say, hey, how's your weekend going?
Loving busting pencils on Saturdays. Jess, thanks for providing those Saturday pencils for us to bust.
My absolute pleasure and joy.
Loving it. Hey, though, Johnny, thinking about this, right? Educated educators talking education. Great idea here. We're thinking about this. We've had Jonathan Gerko, the president of the Association of College and University Educators, AQ, on the show talking about his book, but then talking about AQ, the whole idea of actually building a movement that would inspire better college teaching, the idea that faculty members could really learn to dig deep to make educating students in their classrooms, in college classrooms, awesomeness. And so we've been really digging in deep to this, and we just wanted to say, you know what? We've gone so far, Johnny, you and I are both now, we're walking the walk, man, instead of just talking the talk. We're involved in AQ, taking the courses. In fact, you know, we even throw it out there right now. If you are thinking you would like to be an educated educator who likes to not just talk, but do education, first of all, mailbag 608-557-8577, 608-557-8577. You can let us know too, especially, do you like the Saturday feature of Busted Pencils? Loving it here. But then, Johnny, also remember too, just throw it out there right now. Busted Pencils 20, capital BUSTED 20. Hey, just putting it out there. If you want to get a discount on any AQ courses after we're talking about this, Johnny Lupinacci, you can do it as a Busted Pencils special listener. There it is. Johnny Lupinacci, though, you tell me what it's like to be re-enrolled or what's going on in your AQ course.
Tim, hold on. Back up, because I just want to do a couple of shout outs to our listeners and say, hey, thanks for tuning in. Hey, thanks for staying with Busted Pencils through all these different time changes. And it's wonderful to be with you here on the weekend. When Tip, you might be only a weekend listener or a new addition to the Busted Pencils group. So just want to say, when Tim talks about mailbag, he means you can give us a call. And you can leave us a message. We get a voicemail from you, or we get a text translated in there for us to read. If you call or text at 608-557-8577, you can join the conversation. You can leave a comment. You can ask a question. You can share, hey, you're grading this weekend too, or you can tell us about some of the things happening in your neck of the woods regarding education. You join us as an educated educator. So, Tim, I just wanted to make sure, in case we had any new listeners, that they understood what mailbag was. And they're like, mailbag and a phone number. I know it makes sense, but I'm also learning to be a better teacher as a veteran teacher and to loop back around and clarify things with my audience, which is most often during the week, my students.
Nice.
So, yeah, let's get back up to what you were asking me about now, Tim. And you shared that wonderful opportunity that there's an organization, AQ, and we'll get into what they are in just a moment. But essentially, they specialize in helping college instructors, professors, right? Most of us, there's different names for, there's all kinds. It's a cult. Higher education is kind of a cult.
Yeah,
it's like a kingdom, right? And we have different titles. We have like professor, assistant professor, associate professor, full professor, emeritus professor. We have all these titles, right? You can be a regent or a provost. There's all kinds of stuff. We get into higher ed sometime. But the primary product of most universities are two things, right? And I'll put the first that ought to be most important first. And it's not always most important, but I'll put it first, is we teach, right? We're providing people with highly specialized knowledge in their area of study or their training, right? So we teach. That's a human service. It's a lot of human labor. The second thing we do is we do research. And a lot of the people who teach are also the people who are doing research. And so sometimes these things get kind of jumbled. We also do this thing called service, but it's actually just like regular work stuff. So I won't get into the full detail of what college professors do totally. But these are the two primary products coming out of universities, is teaching, right? Preparing students for the world that they're going into in their profession, and research that's influencing the field of study in our area or discipline. These are the two primary products, the services that are occurring on university campuses. Of course, there's a lot of auxiliary stuff too, but these are the two primary. Well, Tim, there's a long-standing assumption that if you're super smart and good at something, that research thing, like you can provide new knowledge, that's important. But if you're good at that, then you're probably also good at teaching. And what we know through the research and through probably listener experience out there, that has not and is not always true.
Oh,
just because you know the stuff doesn't mean you're good at teaching it. There's potential there.
And potential.
Maybe you have some experience that helps you, but we by and large as professors or as researchers are not always great teachers. And that's me being kind. More often than not, we aren't very effective. Well, that's a problem if one of our primary services as universities and as secondary education is providing teaching. So that's my prelude into this. We, Tim, you and I at Busted Pencils, together with Jess and some of our very special guests, have decided that, you know, every so often, at least once a month, we're going to dedicate some time to talking about how we can change this. And Tim, you hit the nail on the head. You and I said, this is Busted Pencils. We're a couple of blue-collar scholars.
Yeah,
we don't just talk the talk or write about the talk, but we walk the walk, right, and talk the talk. So you and I are both taking AQ courses in different capacities. We'll talk about what that is, but we're both engaged in learning to be better teachers. And I'll toot our horns a little bit, Tim. We're educated educators talking education. We're good at teaching.
I think we're pretty darn good at it, dude.
But even being good, you got to keep your chops and you got to stay great. And
it does not mean you cannot get better. I do want to touch on one thing, though, that you pointed out there, just in case people are going, the whole, do you have knowledge? Yes, you got to have a deep knowledge to actually be able to teach about it. You can't teach about things you don't know. So we're not saying that, hey, teaching in and of itself is the only standalone. No, we're talking about this, you know, maybe a little referral, little content pedagogy, knowledge, man. PDK, pedagogical content knowledge, Johnny. I know that's a big
keyword.
In other words, to teach, you got to know how to teach and you got to know about the stuff you're teaching about. You need the two things together. You need to know about your subject. You need to know about how to teach. How to teach and all those things means knowing about students, knowing when the content works. And all of this, though, is to kind of come in and say, and so what does it mean to be a great college teacher? We put this out there, too, because we've had lots of conversations where people's remembering of if you went to college going, you know what? Sometimes the professors we had, I could tell they knew a heck of a lot of what it was they knew. But man, I could not figure out how to learn all the things that they knew. I heard them talking to me. I heard them preaching to me. And then I just sat there going, I don't get it. Well, guess what? There's some things that you can do if you are a college teacher to improve that ability to help those students out there who are paying large amounts of money to help them get it. Because no longer is this the whole idea that, guess what? You know, some students are going to swim. Some students are going to sink. That's just the way it is. No, 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 no. We have an obligation in college teaching to reach all of our students. If we admitted them, if they're in our class, we have a responsibility to do everything we possibly can to make sure that all students are successful. No, DFW rates, high DFWs, that's drop, fail, withdrawal rates. Those are not the mark of a great course when you have high rates of students failing. No, we need to improve that. We want to make things better. So just so everybody knows where we're going with this. And yeah, Johnny, I think you're right. Blue collar scholars, educated educators, talking, breathing, sleeping, education is all we do.
I mean, I do other things too.
I know.
I feel like I'm about to burn out again. As an educator, when I only do that, I'm not a well-balanced and regulated person. I know that there are multiple dimensions to us. So Tim, don't be preaching that.
Oh, stuff. I know. I'm letting people in on my own mental frailties, which is,
yeah. I got two questions for you, Tim.
Go for it.
You know what? We'll think about them because they'll bring us into this next big leg of the conversation we're going to have. But I got two questions for you, for our listeners, especially as we're setting the foundation for this. The first one, Tim. Mm-hmm. You gave a great definition for this term that we use in education, especially in higher ed often. We use the term pedagogy. Mm. Not right now, but when we come back, we're going to start off with what is pedagogy, right? You gave a good definition for in there, but I want to loop back around and say it really clearly. Street level, right? Blue collar version. What is that word that teachers and professors of education toss around? And the second is you keep talking about AQ. Can you give us a good introduction to that organization and where Tim and Johnny are taking these courses?
Yes. Oh, my God. We will do that. Absolutely. Come on, man. Everybody knows what pedagogy is.
No, they don't.
I know. 608-557-8577 is the number. Yeah, you can drop us a message there. We're calling it the mailbag with a message center. Anything, busted pencils, make sure you can do it. 608-557-8577. Yeah, we're going to bust some pencils when we get back.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I was a teenage anarchist looking for revolution. I had the style, I had the ambition.
Oh, we're a teenage anarchist, but we're a couple of middle-aged anarchists too, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, so I hope to take that anarchism all the way to the grave and beyond. But coming back, Tim, to our learning and the work we do as not only educators, but educators, like we're teaching teachers.
Yeah.
And a term that often comes up in our world on a day-to-day basis almost is that term pedagogy or pedagogical knowledge, right? Pedagogy. So I'm just going to ask you, Tim, give our listeners a refresh. What is that term? It took me almost a year of grad school to finally raise my hand and say, can you give me the definition for this term, please? Because on the streets and like in my neighborhood and growing up, like we didn't say pedagogy, but I think I know what you're talking about, but let's just define it, Tim.
Yeah, I think it's
definition.
When I first heard it, it was like, oh man, those are one of those words that I got to go to confession for after I say it, because it can't, you know, because it didn't sound like it was a real, you know, it was like, that has to be a curse word. The other thing, Johnny, I'm really happy that you located yourself within the range of middle-aged. That's good for me too, because now I didn't know where I belong. Am I, you know, well, I'm a middle-aged anarchist. Okay.
I'm middle-aged. I mean, I don't know when the end is here, but I'm hoping that I've at least lived half of my life at this point. Fingers crossed.
In other words, you're hoping for, you know, another, well, we won't say how many more. Pedagogy. Yeah. Thinking about that, I remember that too. And it was the times, so many times in education courses. And we see that because you guys are like, where does that word even come from? It's like when you're learning to be a teacher, you meet education professors and they seem to use this word a lot.
Yeah.
As an undergrad, you tend to just sit there and hear it and move on and don't make sense. You come back for graduate school, though, you really start hearing it a lot more, to the point where, like as you said, Johnny, at some point it's like, I guess I should maybe know what the hell they're talking about with this word pedagogy, because they keep saying it. It must be important. And you know what? It's actually really simple. In one way, it almost says, well, why do you even use that word then? You know what? Knowledge of teaching. What type of pedagogy are you using? You can substitute in there, what kind of teaching are you using? What style of teaching? Pedagogy, the study of teaching, knowledge of teaching. So when we're talking about a pedagogical concept, we're talking about a concept dealing with teaching. I know people are out there saying, well, then why don't you just say a concept dealing with teaching? Because we're educators talking education, and we finally figured out what this word means. So we're going to use it. That's why. The other way too, Johnny, when I finally really got to understand this word is when we got exposed to Lee Shulman and his work on what was called pedagogical content knowledge. And Lee Shulman put forth this idea that to be a great teacher, two things had to occur simultaneously. You got to know a lot about what it is you're teaching. That's the content knowledge. But you also have to know a lot about teaching. That's the pedagogical content knowledge. Put those two together. Pedagogical content knowledge, knowledge of knowing how to teach what it is that you're teaching. I don't know. Is that a pretty good explanation for people out there right now listening? Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, I love it. And if you have a question or if you want to clarify further, right? Remember, you can join us at the mailbag. You can leave us a comment or a question. You can call or text us at 608-557-8577. Tim, thank you for explaining pedagogy, for introducing that word to our vocabulary. pedagogy, the study of how we teach, which includes what we teach. And attempt to loop back around, you got to know what you know in order to be a good teacher. But it doesn't just knowing that content, being really great at math, doesn't necessarily make me a great math teacher, right? So we have pedagogy, the study of how we teach and learn, the study of teaching our particular content, the style, the effectiveness, all of that. So, Tim, I'm glad we set that groundwork. I got another question for you.
I know you got one more.
What are Tim and Johnny up to? They're teasing something here. They're getting to something. We're building up. But, Tim, so you mentioned AQ, right, which is an acronym. And it's an organization that is highly committed to the improvement of and the insurance of quality instruction at the post-secondary level. So we're talking like after high school, we have community colleges, universities, adult training programs. We got all kinds of ways we continue to learn, which means we're being taught. So Tim, can you talk to our listeners and refresh, what is AQ? Because that is also where you and I are learning to be better college instructors. So Tim, let's jump in.
We are part of AQ. So AQ, A-C-U-E, that's the acronym, the Association of College and University Educators. Now, I've been around for a decade, and as we said, we had the great fortune of actually interviewing the president and one of the founders of AQ, Jonathan Gierko, when we first came across his book, Publicization. And during those conversations, he just loved what we were doing on Busted Pencils. And we started developing more of a relationship. And Jonathan invited me out to the AQ conference in Minneapolis, where I got to meet a whole movement of higher education college faculty who are committed to making their teaching better. So that's what AQ is. It's an organization 40,000 strong right now of committed higher education college, community college faculty administrators that are saying teaching at the higher education level matters so much that we're going to come together. And in fact, we're going to learn, Johnny, how to be better teachers. Well, you know what? So that's AQ. And guess what it led us to saying, you know what? As you said, you know, us being in our middle age, we could probably learn to be a little bit better teachers ourselves, because guess what? Things are always changing. And so to ensure student success through quality instruction, which is that AQ mission, just in case, we have made the commitment to, hey, kind of like Rodney Dangerfield, going back to school, dude. We're back to school, man. You're taking some courses, learning how to be a better teacher. We'll talk about the differences of the type of work you're doing. I'm also in an asynchronous AI course. I know people are going, wait, Tim, what? You're taking AI stuff? Yes. Because as Johnny says, I am part of the cult Kool-Aid drinking AI.
He's going to church in AI.
And it's not the church where I give that confession for saying the word pedagogy when I was little. No, just putting that out there. It's man. But yeah, we are taking two ways to make ourselves better instructors. We are using AQ, the Association of College and University Educators, a partnership with Busted Pencils. Johnny is back to school. Tim is back to school. You know what? In fact, when we get back, Johnny, I want to dig into what it means for Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slucker, to be back in school. Also, if you want to join us or give us a call, leave us a message in the mailbag, 608-557-8577. Hold on. Johnny and Tim, back to school.
Kissed.
Your new choice. Real News. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The FAA says a Southwest Airlines aircraft was struck by gunfire in Dallas last night. A bullet hit right under the flight deck, police say.
The preliminary investigation determined when officers arrived that a Southwest Airlines aircraft was hit by gunfire. No injuries are reported.
President-elect Donald Trump just posted a new video on Truth Social.
The greatest political comeback in American history.
But there are concerns over some of his cabinet choices on Capitol Hill. Life-threatening flooding and mudslides are a risk in Honduras as it is pounded by rain from Tropical Storm Sarah. Philippe Poppin is with the National Hurricane Center.
We're expecting the system to weaken actually quite a bit once it moves over the Yucatan Peninsula. And the system that, if it emerges into the Gulf of Mexico, is going to be significantly weakened. And in fact, our latest forecast is actually showing it dissipating.
One area was completely cut off by flooding. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Badgers upset Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Arizona Wildcats were ranked 9th in the nation, but on a night, the Badgers honored now Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan. They beat Arizona 103-88. Missouri transfer John Fanjay led Wisconsin with 41 points.
As far as Wisconsin, I feel like I want to be a part of, you know, a night like this. I think we have a great, amazing coaching staff. I just want to be a part of something special. Today we had, you know, alumni come in and we celebrated some of the guys from the Sweet 16 teams. I mean, it was just...
Final four.
Even better, my bad.
They host Texas Rio Grande Valley Monday at the Kohl Center. NBA, Bucks on the road in Charlotte tonight to play the Hawks. College football, Wisconsin and number one ranked Oregon. Kickoff at 6:30 tonight at Camp Randall. The Packers in Chicago against the Bears tomorrow at noon. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, just back from an ankle injury, will not be able to play.
Unfortunately, he had appendicitis, so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs near 52. Chance of rain tonight, lows around 46. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high around 60. Rain is likely on Monday with a high of 56. For Tuesday, more rain, breezy, highs near 60 degrees.
It's 48 at our studios.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwaba and I'm an actual Schwaba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwaba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. We'll talk about John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, and his relationship to Trump. Plus, Jesse Waters says RFK Jr. is going to make it sexy like the 90s. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, that's what we do. Dancing on the crumbling precipice. Johnny and Tim are just going back to school. I don't know if it's that bad. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 608-557-8577. 608-557-8577. Comments, questions, criticisms. Yeah, we'll take them. You could put those all in the mailbag, what we're calling it. You know, it's an answering machine. There's a voicemail. Just tell us what you're thinking. That's all we're saying. Johnny, though, the AQ, the Association College and University Educators, committed to making those of us who engage in college teaching, university teaching, higher education, community college, private colleges, everybody who's a faculty member teaching at those institutions, making them better at the work they do that really, really, really matters, which is teaching, because teaching really, really matters to those students who are sitting in front of us, because that's what they're there for. They're there to learn. And guess what? You want to help students learn. You want to ensure all students have success. You got to make sure you have quality instruction. See, I threw that little AQ mission in there, Johnny. Put that in there like that. Man, it's tight. But Johnny, so we're in two different forms then of courses. And this is the great thing about AQ, because they have multiple ways for you to enhance your skill set. I am enrolled in what are called the quick study courses, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. It's pretty close to exactly what it says, which is something where I can drop in asynchronous, learn some stuff, do a couple of assignments, back out, and then be done. It's quick study. In fact, the course I'm enrolled in right now that I'm just starting to, its duration, it's going to take me about 2 hours to finish that course, 2 hours. Johnny, though, you've got quite a different experience going on. So let's talk about what's happening with Johnny Lupinacci and AQ first, so that we can really get a deep dive into where you're headed.
Well, Tim, I'm in a cohort. That means I'm in a group of other instructors, so college professors around the country and world, who are part of a course in a certification program. So AQ certifies college instructors to sort of say, hey, they've spent some time learning together in a group with an instructor, actually a few instructors. Like, we get a lot of attention in this course and all that. But I'm actually in a course that is, you know, a lot of flexibility to the time when you do your work, but a good solid weekly calendar, you know, and I would say easily, you know, 3 hours-ish of work a week, maybe just a little bit more, because there's like really so many resources to the learning in each module, right? And lots of writing and lots of responding on really great prompts and really great demonstration videos that I'm watching in the areas that the course I'm in, you know, has me learning. And I'll get to a little bit more about what that course is. But Tim, I want to come back to some of the why, right? Like, whether you're doing these kind of flash courses like Tim, you're engaged in with learning about AI and cutting edge things that happen in real time. Right. That are important for us instructors to not only respond to, but better understand how it impacts our pedagogy. Yes. I get to use that word because we defined it. But, you know, in general, let's talk about being a professor, wherever you're doing that work. If you're out there and you're teaching college students or in some form, adult learners, right? One of the things that often doesn't happen for us, especially in university structures, is there isn't really time allocated to making sure we're good at teaching. The expectation, I'll come back to the beginning of the show, I stated, the expectation is we're really good at what we do. We're researchers. We have the knowledge in that content area. And so hopefully we should be able to teach. Sometimes there's some guidelines giving in terms of, as a university, here's an example of a good syllabus. Here's what we expect happens in each of our courses. But Tim, you brought this up. By and large, most universities are grappling with a struggle. And that struggle is retaining our students, actually making sure our students are not only effectively learning, but that they're staying not only in class, like that they're in our classes physically, whether those are online, asynchronous, you know, or in physical classrooms, but engaged, right? More than just compliant, but engaged, that they're learning and that they're reporting, hey, I really learned a lot in my course. Mm-hmm. What we know is that as we learn more about what students are learning, we know that we're not doing a great job by and large of teaching them. Mm. We're sort of stuck in these old ways of teaching, right? Not all old things are wrong. I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater here and forget about good teaching, because a lot of good teaching practices sort of stay true. But we know that how we've done college for a really long time isn't effective, not only for all students, but even for most. And so we're trying to change that in education. We're trying to be better college instructors, not just you and me, Tim, because that's sort of part of what we do as educators, right? Our whole life has been about whether we are teaching high school or middle school or elementary school or teaching teachers. We've always wanted to be the best teacher we could be because we're educators. But I can't say, and I'm not attacking my peers, I can't say that's always true. And you know this example, listener, if you've been with Left of Pencils for a while, Johnny always talks about the world's leading thinker in plastic coatings. I actually work with a guy who is that, and he's fantastic. He's also an amazing teacher.
Great.
But he talked about having to have learned to become a teacher because most of his school was spent on being the world's leading guy on plastic coatings, right? So this is true for many subject areas, like the world's best of the best computer science programmers that aren't working out in industry, but have taken jobs in universities are great minds. They are brilliant in their content area, but there isn't always built-in support or requirement for them to learn to be good at teaching, the pedagogy piece. So AQ is kind of responding to that gap and that need, and that most universities right now are grappling with, how can we get better instruction to our students? We need it. It's long overdue. Let's go, right? But are also struggling with, how do we do this? So AQ offers some of those solutions. They have courses that you can become a certified, sort of AQ certified instructor, someone who's been through a series of courses, completed them, gotten feedback, you know, done assignments, applied those assignments to their teaching, gotten feedback on that. And, you know, ideally, and what the research is showing us, are better, more effective teachers. And yes, you can actually measure that, which is a wonderful thing, Tim. So this is a great opportunity for us in our partnership with AQ. We learned about that, as we said, through the amazing guests we've had on here and our friends at AQ, but also just in general, this is like an area of need most universities are grappling with. And so here we're modeling too. You can do this. I want to say out there too, that's very rarely, and it needs to be, I'm going to do a little advocacy piece here, supported by higher education institutions. And this is a big flaw and fault. And yeah, I'm going to point some fingers, because I'm going to say, hey, if you're an educational leader out there, you're an administrator in a university setting, this show is not only for teachers and teacher educators and, you know, folks interested in policy. This one's for you too, because we want you to hear that this isn't just valued by two pretty good instructors. I mean, my evaluations are good. My effectiveness comes through. So if you're a provost, you know, you're a dean, you're in any of these educational leadership roles, hey, listen up, because we're telling you, you don't have to do it all yourselves.
There you go.
And in fact, I'll do a pitch. I'm also concurrently enrolled in a teaching group at my university. It's great. It's fine. But I have already experienced 3 weeks into my AQ course some freedom to be me, to bring my teacher self to a group of peers who I don't necessarily work with, who aren't in positions of power over me, who aren't directly evaluating my tenure and promotion materials. Yes, it's possible my peers out there in the world could also be in my AQ course. And, you know, when I'm evaluated for promotion, those materials get sent out to our peers around the world. They could, in theory, be in this class. But I have found some great comfort in being in a real cohort of peer educators out there in different subject areas. We can be ourselves. We can talk about what we struggled with, what we have currently experienced in our institutions, without that worry of who's listening or who's reading these posts where I'm talking about interventions in my classroom and how I classroom manage. Yes, not just for classroom management, something in education we teach our elementary and high school teachers, like news alert, we actually practice it. And I hadn't in a long time, but in my AQ course, I am. Classroom management in college, go figure.
No way. You would
have a good classroom management plan and policies and procedures and practice it in a group of peers who are also practicing that. I want to say a pitch, even though if you are a provost out there or a dean or an administrator who says, yeah, but we have like a learning academy in our institution. We have workshops for people to improve their teaching all the time. We have teaching labs. Yes, you do, but it's not quite the same. John Lupinacci here, I can be myself. I can say, hey, folks, I struggle with this. And I pop that into my course and we talk about it. And I have a peer group and I get feedback from an AQ instructor. And man, Tim, I got to tell you, that feedback has been amazing for me so far.
I want to hit on one of the things you talked about, too, because what you're enrolled in, too, you're talking about, it's a certification. And let's put that word out there that when you are done, and this isn't like the quick study course I'm in, which is like a 2-hour thing. Johnny is enrolled in a certification program. For anybody to understand that, outside, you know, hey, we understand that, you know, K-12 teachers have to be certified. Yeah, we kind of take that for granted, but we kind of forgot that. In fact, there is no certification that a college level person actually earns that says they were a great teacher. In fact, this is the movement. Jonathan likes to use this term. Quality instruction. Actually, I blew a little bit of a brain kind of gasket on that one. Certified or to teach. He was talking about that, saying, you know, what would that mean in higher education if you were or qualified to teach, right? And how that could be kind of problematic, because there are some provosts and some deans and some administrators out there that say, we don't need to worry about that because you know what? Knowing everything there is to know about plastic coatings, they're a great teacher. We know that. No, you need to get this. And we say, let's get a movement to what it would mean to have college level faculty certified, therefore then qualified to teach. Johnny Lupinacci is engaging in a process that when you're done after all of this schooling, back to school you're doing, you're going to get to hold a credential that puts you in the ranks of all of these other higher ed faculty and teachers that are out there that are engaging in this. You're part of a movement, Johnny, of certified to teach through AQ, the AQ courses. You know, kind of making me think, though, too, if you're imagining yourself going like, wait a minute, I want more. I want more right away. Well, here's the deal. Check it out. Go to acu.org. You can get there at their Learning Lab landing. You, if you're interested, in fact, if you know, if you're one of those people that are out there right now listening, go, you have an opportunity to jump into and make a connection with AQ. Johnny and I are taking these courses, and guess what? You can sign up. People are like, well, what is it? No, it's not free. It costs a little bit. You know what? Because you got to put something in if you're going to get something out. But here's the deal. You can, because you're a Busted Pencils listener, there is a discount code if you feel compelled to sign up for one of these courses. Busted Pencils 20, all caps, Busted Pencils 20. That's going to allow you to get 20% off of the fees that it will cost, whether it's to go into a certification program, go into a quick study course. That's what we're talking about here. Wanted to put that out there because, yeah, on top of giving us calls at 608-557-8577, you motivated joining AQ. Go in there, join AQ, sign up for one of their classes. Busted Pencils 20 gets you 20% off of the registration and course fees right now. That's our commitment, Johnny, that we're making to the Busted Pencils listeners, saying we want everybody to be great college teachers, actually great all teachers. It's Educated Educators Talking Education. A lot more when we get back.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes. And just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new choice. Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There it is. Man, I can't believe we are already in the fourth segment. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Actually, really talking about education because Johnny and Tim are back to school learning how to be better teachers. Yes, yes. Even educated educators who talk, think, breathe, and, you know, and Johnny says, occasionally do other things, education, outside of education. But yeah, we need to learn also to be better teachers. So we're talking about this. We're working with AQ, the Association of College and University Educators. You can go to their website, aq.org. That's acu.org. You can check it out, explore what's going on there. And we're involved in two different ways to improve our teaching. I am enrolled in the Learning Lab where I am taking what are called quick study courses. And Johnny, I am in a series of four courses right now. Guess what? As people will point out, or as Johnny will shame me, the Church of Artificial Intelligence, the Cult of Artificial Intelligence, I am taking four quick study courses on artificial intelligence. Those courses are writing effective AI prompts, developing the learning introduction to generative AI, ethical AI, learning AI to develop course resources. That's the course I'm in right now. Loving it because I love AI from this standpoint of saying, as, and I'll use your term, tool. What a powerful tool. And sometimes when it comes to teaching and learning, you're like, boy, I'd really like to have something to help my students dig deep. Well, one of the things we're learning about here is how we can leverage AI to get course materials to use in our classes that weren't typically as available before AI. And so using this, digging deep AI, and then also using AI to help students become better learners. I mean, this is awesome stuff. You know, it's truly one of these most incredible, awesome things. It's part of the certification, though, too, for the Effective Teaching Practices Framework. But Johnny, I am digging in, and yeah, you know, somebody who's in the cult of AI, I can't get enough. And so I am just loving this course. Maybe the next time we talk about AQ2, I'll be able to say, tell you and let you in on going, what did I actually do? What is my finished project? I'll actually bring that finished project and product, Johnny Lupinacci.
Nice, Tim. I love that. And, you know, for listeners out there, what we're doing here is like Tim and Johnny, both of us are participating in learning. And we're going to share that. So we're going to be taking you on the journey with us. I know I am taking a course right now. I'm 3 weeks in, so I'm in module 3 of creating an inclusive and supportive learning environment. So, you know, we started with like, how do you plan your first day of class? What are all the strategies for an effective syllabus and the first day of class? We actually had to plan our first day of class. We actually had to teach little mini lessons of what that looks like. Some of us got to do it in real time. Others are preparing for the next beginning of our semester. But really awesome stuff. We're currently in a unit talking about how we promote, you know, and include civil discourse or discussions in our class. So again, creating an inclusive and supporting learning environment. That's the course I'm in. Tim, I'm excited also about your AI flash course that you're in. I'll be taking that as well. Right now, my time commitment is, you know, about 3 hours or so a week. Yeah. I tend to spend a little bit more time because I'm nerding out and loving it. About 3 hours a week for the whole course weekly. And those flash courses, you were saying, they're about 2 hours long.
Right.
And so I'm going to be finding time to take that AI flash course as well, because as a tool, it is on my to-do list to learn how to better include AI in my courses, right? In my teaching and in my work. So really fun. Come along with us, listeners. Remember, if you have a comment or a call or a question, or you want to join the conversation, hit us up at the mailbag. Leave us a message at 608-557-8577. Man, we couldn't be happier to bring you on this journey with us.
And now it's time for your moment of Zen. What most of us must be involved in, whether we teach or write, make films, write films, direct films, play music, act, whatever we do, has to not only make people feel good and inspired and at one with other people around them, but also has to educate a new generation to do this very modest thing, change the world. Man, thank you everybody for busting pencils with us. And check it out though too, if you're loving this, AQ, yes, 20% off Busted Pencils 20. That's the code to get that discount. Loving this, Johnny Lupinacci, man. Talk about busting pencils, doing it. Can't wait though. Hey, you're listening, man, loving this homeroom coming up on Monday. Lots to dig into there though. And you know what, Johnny too, we've heard now, Jonathan Gurko has actually given us access to a bunch of AQ regulars who are going to be coming on the show to talk about also how they've put together and developed some of the courses, people that are engaging in these courses. So yeah, we're going to be doing a lot more with AQ in the future. Loving that, loving being able to bust pencils. And just in case too, you got one more thing to say, 608-557-8577. That's the number to make sure that you can always bust pencils. And continue to bust pencils. Just there with a little bit of a roll, keeping going. Like, Tim, come on, man. Gotta keep doing it. Yeah. Loving it. It's Busted Pencils. We got it going on. Hey, check it out too. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, always the podcasts are going to drop. Monday, homeroom. Wednesday, classes in session. Friday, first downs. And Friday nights, always going to be part of that. And then, yes, Saturdays, listening. You can listen to the show on Saturdays, 3 p.m., making sure you're there at the radio. And you can always download. Make sure you go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can get all of our podcasts there, and you can explore some of the other civic media stuff that's going on. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Looking forward to seeing y'all next week.
Voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and we'll dive deep into why certain groups voted for Donald Trump and the direction of the future of our nation.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.